Hi, good afternoon. It's Cricky here. Introducing a new series to you today. It's from a book I wrote to challenge myself way outside my comfort zone. I'd never written anything with characters or anything before. And it's based on a group of sorority sisters who helped me make decisions about characters and plots and things. And it's called Bridgeport Wives. And I'm going to be breaking some of the chapters down because they're quite long chapters for you. So this is chapter one, part one of Bridgeport Wives.
Oh my God, look at that dirty sheet. I wish the room would stop spinning. I can't see. As I tried to figure out where the hell I was, my gut told me that this was going to be the hangover for the ages. I remember wearing my contacts last night, but as I stumbled to the bathroom, I kicked the damn chair in the corner. How many times have I broken my toe on that stupid chair? Limping into the bathroom, I finally found the bottle of saline solution and got my contacts freshened up enough to get them out. I found my glasses and got them on. Looking in the mirror, all I could think was, must have been one hell of a party. My hair all over, mascara had given me raccoon eyes, and I have no clue what color lipstick I was wearing. It is not my color. Madison, what the hell are you doing to yourself? The first order of business was a large amount of water for the massive headache I had. Dehydration was winning and I needed to fight back. Driving would be the challenge, to say the least. Hopping in the shower trying to get my hair washed, I can't believe how many bobby pins are in my head, washed my face, and after some time directly under the massage head, I started to feel sort of human again. Alcohol 1 and Madison 0. It was a drunken night, and to be honest, I have no clue how I managed to get back home. Quinn had thrown me a massive going away party and we both had cut loose. For Quinn and I, it was our last night together and we had no clue when we would see each other again. Sometimes we would just look at each other and start crying. I had decided it was time for a fresh start in a new city. Quinn and I had started drinking 2 days before when I had told her that I had quit and was leaving. Where are you heading, and why now? Grabbing Quinn's hand and leading her to the couch. I can't do this anymore. The job, there are just too many secrets, and I need to get out from under the pressure or I am going to implode. We curled up on the couch together and cried, knowing she would be devastated, but I needed to save both of us, and if leaving is what it took to do that, then so be it. I slipped on my sunglasses as the light was more than I could deal with. It was that kind of hangover headache that any little thing intensified the pounding of the drums in my head. Taking my camera bag and backpack to the car, it was good that I did not have much to pack. Driving a Prius, fire engine red was my color. I sold a lot of what I had, and what was left Quinn would ship to me when I got settled. I could hear the dinging of the early morning trolley, taking a big breath, getting the smell of sea air inside my head. I closed my eyes, hoping to take in exactly how I felt at this very minute. I wanted to remember this feeling of peace. I didn't have many of them. It was so much fun to ride the cable cars all over the city. You got to see so much more when you didn't have to worry about driving. It was one sound I used to lie in bed and listen to each morning. I would miss the sights and smells of San Francisco. Riding the cars to work, going shopping at the Fisherman's Wharf Fish Market, the boys knew me well and always had my order waiting for me. I looked in on Quinn one last time. She was asleep and there was no way I was going to take a risk and wake her. She was going to be hungover after all the wine we consumed last night. I gently covered her up, sat on the bed for just a minute or two. Quinn was amazing, but I could see that she was like me, almost to the bottom of this life we had created. Neither of us had anything left to give each other, let alone a job or life in general. It is time to get out when you feel like that. Quinn was good on the financial side also. She could just sleep and start to be a human again. I left a couple of bottles of water next to her bed. I know she was going to feel as bad if not worse than me. Planning all along to leave this early, to beat the traffic, especially heading south towards Los Angeles. I wanted to be at the Golden Gate Bridge to watch the sunrise. I always found a real sense of peace watching the sun come on, especially when times were rough. There was only one way to go, and that was down Lombard Street. The speed limit is only 10 miles per hour, but the view is amazing. A lot of tourists go there to see it, but at this hour it would be quiet. You had to pay attention as you drove down the twisting, winding road. As I wandered to the living room, I stopped for one last look. This was my home and everything I knew I was leaving behind for a fresh start, and it was scary. The only other time I can remember feeling anywhere close to this was when Mom and Dad passed away. Out of the back pocket of my shorts, I pulled a letter. Staring at the envelope, one of my tears dropped near Quinn's name. Tripping over a wine bottle, I left the letter propped up on the desk so she would find it when she finally woke up. I quietly shut the front door, heard the deadbolt click for the final time. I put the keys through the mail slot and after hearing the thud on the floor, there was no turning back now. Time to face the unknown and hoping for a new life free from secrets. Hoping is the key, meeting people I could tell them the things I wanted them to know. Maybe not be judged for what I had done. Driving a small car, parking was usually not an issue. As I pulled in, I had my choice of where to park, and with no one around, I could park a little silly for a great view. My name is Madison Robertson, and this is my story of how a road trip and moving to a new city saved my life. I did what had to for survival, but there is one mistake that has haunted me my entire life, and I wonder if by moving to a new city, I can finally breathe or will karma come back to bite me in the ass at some point, but more about that later. I needed to get the tripod out. There was no way I was going to hold the camera at this point. The Golden Gate Bridge is amazing in itself, but with the sun coming up, it was truly breathtaking in my book. In my hungover haze, managing to get the camera focused, but that was it. I just clicked away and hoped that I got something good that I could keep as a reminder of a fresh start. It would be Phoenix before I would look. Now it was a matter of getting repacked and back on the road. I looked at my step counter. For the time, and it was nearing 6:30 a.m. Photography was a lifelong love, and I needed to rediscover it and why I loved it so much. I was happy taking pictures and editing them, but just needed to find that passion again. I stopped for one final look, as I have no clue if I will see this again. It was time to get a move on if I was going to make the distance today that I had planned. Phoenix was all I had planned for. After that, it was the places and events that took place that would help me decide. I headed east towards I-5, then turned south, hoping that traffic was not too bad, but with morning rush hour, it was anyone's guess. Knowing what it's like at the best of times, but rush hour is a completely different story. I had to wait for In-N-Out to open for coffee, as it would be my best friend today. There was no way I was even entertaining food at this point. I knew keeping up the fluids was the thing. It would be the last time for a while, as they don't have them the further east I go. Taking time to enjoy the coffee before I got back on the highway, my thoughts drifted to Quinn. To describe her, she was what I would call model tall. Bright red hair she always wore in a bun, green eyes, with that killer Irish accent. She could drink most guys under the table, but about of alcohol poisoning, which she almost died from, putting a stop to the heavy drinking. That was a real turning point for both of us. We used to party so hard to escape all of the evil that we had seen in our jobs. Well, back to Interstate 10. Phoenix was my first stop, and I was not going to get there if I didn't get into the car. More about the job: I was not in the field but was still part of the team. It was my job to do the background work to help build the case, making sure all the paperwork was in the file to take to court if any little thing got missed, it was on me. At times I felt like a paper pusher, but with my degree in forensics, I was usually brought in for a fresh pair of eyes on the case, looking for that one thing that might have gotten missed. My specialty was cold cases with missing persons. The adults were okay, but the kids were what ripped your heart out the most. It was for those cases that we had to see the forensics psychologist. It was a requirement to attend debriefs to be able to return to work. Quinn had met this guy from Seattle, and he has even come and visited us here in San Francisco. I don't remember his name, but he was so good for Quinn. He helps her find that light in her life that had been missing for so long. Quinn was doing great. She found those positive things that she could focus on and was happy. Our job had so much ugliness and pain that there were times that we just had to have a break, change the scenery to find ourselves again. Thanks to an early morning accident on the I-5, was stuck in traffic for a bit. I could hear Quinn laughing in my head. "You didn't plan, did you?" She was always the one who knew the shortcuts around the city just in case the crap hit the fan. That is why Quinn always drove. She knew the shortcuts. I know that I broke Quinn's heart when I left, but I also knew it would be easier if I was gone before the sun was up. It would be easier on both of us, especially if she had the hangover that I had. She would be in no shape to deal with anything. It was going to be difficult enough, but I just can't do this anymore. I was on the verge of losing what was left of myself and who I was, and I could see the signs creeping in. I got along great with the bosses and the rest of the staff, but even they could see that Quinn and I both needed a change. Quinn is strong, we both know it, but she needs extra help with this one. I can't even help myself right now, so how in the world can I help her? What Quinn didn't know was that her guy would be arriving by mid-afternoon because he needed to be with her. I went behind Quinn's back and called him. He was glad I had. Quinn and I have helped each other through so much. We have survived before through the crappy parts of the job and life, but I think we both knew that it was time to help ourselves first. Then, we can help each other. We stayed up talking over the last couple of nights about what we would do and all. Quinn giggled from the amount of wine we had ingested. Sleep, that's the first thing I'm going to discover again. What the hell sleep is? You know how you get the giggles when drinking over completely stupid stuff? We laughed till we cried when she said that. Photography is what I am going to try again. I miss getting into nature, looking for that one perfect shot. I replied to the question. I want to be a tourist in a new city. Discovering all the cool stuff. As much as I love her, Quinn will survive, just like me. I looked at this beautiful soul that had become my family. Babe, you know I love you, but... Quinn shook her head, knowing what was coming. I have to do this for me and you. It is time we figured out how to stand on our own again. I have to go to save myself, but you need to find your feet again, we both do. It is going to be tough to leave my childhood home, but I have to go, for whatever awaits me in Chicago. Quinn looked at me funny and asked the one question I had been waiting for. Why Chicago? How did you decide on that? Well, I looked at her and said, I need to go to a new place where no one knows me and where I can finally stop worrying about. Quinn put her hand up to stop me in mid-sentence from saying the one thing we both knew could ruin me and my career. We both just sat in silence for what seemed like an eternity. She knew I was running, but if it would make all of that disappear, then she was okay with me going. Even I was not sure if going to Chicago would help things disappear, but I had to try. Time to leave it all behind. That is the biggest question of all: what is there in Chicago for me? Let alone why was I stupid enough to choose Chicago? I could have stayed out west where it's warm during the winter, but nope, this senseless person decided that it is time to freeze her backside off and see what all the fuss about snow was. If you are asking me if I was running from something? The answer is a huge yes. I had been running my entire life, it was all I knew. Now it was time to stop, and I thought that moving to Chicago was the answer. That is key, I thought to move was the answer. I had been in survival mode for so long, I didn't know anything else. I had hit burnout working in the crime lab. Doing background research got to be a little bit much at times. There were times the big bosses told us to take some time off. Stuff could get pretty heavy, and when you get to the point that the cases were giving you nightmares, it was time for a break. I am not 100% sure why I chose Chicago, but I needed a fresh start. No one knew me there, and I could tell them what I wanted them to know. I was truly hoping that a change in scenery was just what the doctor ordered. Little did I know what was waiting for me. I didn't own much as I was living with Quinn at the time, which was a good thing. I just wanted to try to leave as much of this part of my life in California as I could. It was one of those great San Francisco old houses, a fixer-upper, and Quinn had done an amazing job. We each had our own larger bedroom with its bathroom and walk-in closet. Quinn was amazing and has such a beautiful soul, but I needed to make the break. She was having a hard time also dealing with things, and I knew I needed to go. We both had burnout. I was not abandoning her, even though it probably felt like I was. I will always be there for her, but I think we both needed to the time apart to come back together so we could support each other better. I knew I was nearing rock bottom, and I was not taking Quinn with me as she had her demons to deal with. I had seen the fresh scars on Quinn's wrist and knew how bad it was. If she succeeded, I am not sure how I would have coped with it all. I finally got past the accident and the traffic started to thin out, and I was busting for the restroom. I managed to get off at Bakersfield and have a stretch and a bathroom stop. It's what I get for being a coffeeholic. The smell of a sausage and egg McMuffin was calling my name. Maddie, eat me, you know you want to. How could I refuse? More coffee please, a caramel latte this time. It was the first time in hours that the smell of food did not turn my stomach. I was south towards Los Angeles, and the timing was better as it was midday and getting through there was less of a headache. Thanks, accident, for helping me. I always tried to find something to be grateful for when things went off the rails. I saw the signs for Indio and Joshua Tree National Park, and it was no turning back from there. I felt a bit of a weight lift as I checked my headband. I had the window open and my hair was bothering me a little. I cranked the tunes and set the cruise control. I stopped at Blythe for a bit. Blythe is a beautiful city with many churches. I grabbed the camera and I think I got some great shots. I would download them when I got to the hotel room and can charge the Mac. I was thankful I thought to grab an external hard drive when I got my hiking boots. Money was no issue, as I had worked hard and saved well, but I wanted a nice hotel with a view of the sunset. Driving a Prius meant unpacking the whole car when I stopped for the night. The boxes I left, but I needed the suitcase which was on the bottom. The camera and computer bags I kept on the back seat. After plugging things into charge for a bit, I headed to the balcony to the view of the pool and hot tub, which might be good for a soak after all the driving today. I opted for the hot tub due to the driving and I was spoiling myself. Taking a glass of white with me, it was good to slip into the hot bubbles and just relax. I recognized that this drive would be more taxing on the body than I comprehended, and it would be a good idea to take a little bit of time for myself. No one was around and the sky was amazing with the stars starting to show. Self-doubt started creeping in and wondered if my attack of the stupids was just that, a really stupid move? I had a great job, making good money and a roommate, who with her demons, made sure I did not feel like an orphan of the world. Moving in with Quinn, I was able to build nice savings, and with selling some of my investments, money was not an issue. I started questioning everything, who I gave up on relationships, why I became a workaholic and why Chicago. I paid cash or when I used the credit card, I paid it off as soon as I could. I got a couple of shots of the city at night and download them to the Mac. The phone had finished charging and I had to make sure I set the alarm before I went to bed. Shutting down the computer and making sure the camera batteries were charging, I turned off the room lights. I found an Eagles concert on TV, I guess I drifted off too. New York minute playing. Doing some quick map study over breakfast, I had to decide to head north on I-17 to Flagstaff. I was hungry today and knew with the amount of driving I had ahead of me it was time for a good meal. Having never been to Flagstaff, I wanted to stop for a short visit. I've seen a lot of pictures but wanted to see it for real. Might not get out this way again and I needed a new view on life, sightseeing was the possible answer I needed. I wanted to give my camera a workout and decided to see what the lens of the camera would show me. Back on the road, this time on 40 East to Albuquerque. Lunch in Albuquerque did not seem like an unreasonable goal, but it was okay if it was past that when I finally arrived. It could be midnight by the time I made it that far and I didn't care. As long as I made Albuquerque it was okay. I had stocked up on snack food, drinks and Red Bull, plenty of water also. Mom always had a snack bag of finger food for road trips and I had kept it going. More than once that bag saved my bacon. I knew I wanted to spend a bit of time there and have a look around. Have always wanted to see what life is like there and this was the best time to do it. It was a warm day, and the sun on my face felt good. After getting the car bag set up for anything I might need, the food bag in reach, I grabbed my car driving headband and threw it on. I had to have tunes as the silence in the car was too much right now. As I was turning the car on, my thoughts drifted to Quinn and wondering how she was doing. The first full day of a new life, the proverbial new normal. That was a good question, what was the new normal? I was throwing caution to the wind, moving across the country and trying to rebuild a life in which I had no clue who I was but had become defined by the decisions I had made.
Hey, welcome back. I hope you guys got some giggles on that along the way and enjoyed the first part of that. I'll be bringing you the rest of chapter 1 this Friday, so enjoy your week and I will talk to you soon.